Enhance your CTE programs of study with new AP Career Kickstart courses. Help your students kickstart their careers with AP Cybersecurity or AP Business with Personal Finance. Learn more at careerkickstart.org.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
The Burt Show.
Alright, Brittany needs our help here, actually. She needs an assist. She's a little bit too nervous to reach out a guy or to a guy that lives in her building, and she wanted us to reach out for her, okay? So we're playing a little game here called Eighth Grade. good morning, Brittany. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Okay. So, you know, if you listen to this show any amount of time, you know that dudes love to be asked out. It takes the pressure off. It's a slam dunk. Mm-hmm. So what are you nervous about?
Well, you know, the situation is that, you know, I just moved into this apartment earlier this year, and, you know, I met him because I noticed, like, we got home around the same time, and, you know, he's on the fourth floor, I'm on the fifth floor, and we've had these, like, little casual conversations here and there. And like, the thing is, like, I know so much about him, like, enough that I know, like, I'm completely head over heels for this guy, but I don't have a sense to know if I should shoot the shot, you know? Like, I know his name is Mark with a C and not a K, and he's lived there for 2 years. He's originally from Iowa, so he's like this tall, beefy, blonde Midwestern boy, you know, and he's really into soccer, like super pumped about the World Cup this year. I know like all the stuff about his family, like two older sisters, they're all back in Iowa. I know so much about him. Like, why don't I just throw caution to the wind and do it? Like, I've really fallen for him, but you know, he lives in my building and I see him like a bunch of times throughout the week. And like, I don't know, like, what if I make the move and it goes south? And then like, I don't know, I don't want to go up five flights of stairs every day.
Yeah, that fear of rejection. I always say this, like, the fear of rejection stops us from doing so much, but the motivation and the positivity of like, if this turns out well, isn't driving enough for us to actually do it.
Listen, I have struck out so many times with so many men, and the rejection never gets easier. However, I will say there have been a couple of times where I feel like I have held back because I was worried about coming off as cringe or as like a thirsty girl. And that regret will live with you forever, so much longer than that awkward moment of having to make the first move. That regret will haunt you.
It's such a blip in your life. The amount of time that you're going to be uncomfortable is such a blip. I forget what movie it was. It was a Matt Damon movie where he said that he met his wife who he'd been married to for decades. And he was, I don't know, educating somebody in his life about it. And he's like, I just had to talk myself into it. I saw her through. She was eating at a restaurant. And I just said to myself, if I can get through this 30 seconds, just 30 seconds out of my life where this could be uncomfortable, it might end up being good. So he walked in there. It's a movie. Walked in there. She absolutely adored him. It was only 30 seconds, and they ended up living together happily ever after.
But this is not just 30 seconds. They live in the same building. She sees him multiple times a week.
That is a different element to it.
Yeah.
So I feel like that ups the ante a little bit, because now it's not just like 30 seconds of uncomfortable. It could potentially be multiple times a week uncomfortable every time you cross paths with this person who you shot your shot with and turned you down.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, I typically never care about rejection at all unless it's somebody that I know I'm going to have to see every day or every other day after it. That I can understand why you would be hesitant.
But isn't this the truth, though? You ask somebody out, they say no. It's uncomfortable. But then you see them again. You think that they're laughing in their head, like, oh, that's the girl that asked me out and really had no shot with me at all. I don't really see it that way.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's the case at all. And if it is, like, I mean, how much is moving? Just simply change apartments.
Now, normally, I would always suggest, and we've already done this, so it's too late for this advice, but if I'm a guy and I'm getting a call from a radio station that there's a girl in my building that wants to ask me out, and I'm hearing that girl doesn't have the guts to do it from a radio station, You're done.
Hello. We were more sly than that.
Okay.
When we didn't call him, we emailed him.
Oh, that's different.
Changes everything. Oh,
there's a girl in your building.
Yeah.
And we did not tell him it was a girl in his building. We kept it very vague.
Okay.
As far as like, he has a crush, but he doesn't know where the crush lives.
Okay.
Okay. That
we
was
were just
smart.
Doing more fact finding because there was, because, Brittany had hit us up because she knows all this stuff about him, but she doesn't know if he has a girlfriend or not.
Okay.
So we had to do this as like a fact finding and also planting of the seeds.
Boy, all that research. He found out everything. How to spell his name.
Right, I know.
Find out the most important thing.
Parents' address. Doesn't know if he has a girlfriend.
Now I feel bad for the guy because he's going to think every woman that crosses his path is the one that has been into him. So now he's going to have a totally different attitude.
Every day is a game of Clue for him.
You're the one that likes me. No, you're the one that likes me. You're the one that likes me. All right, so Brittany, hang on one second. We did reach out to this guy, like Kristen said. We got answers for you. You just got to wait a couple of minutes to get them, okay?
Oh, wow, okay.
All right, we'll come back in just a minute. It's The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
I'm so burned out on working out, and here's how I know this. So I usually work out like 5 times a week, right? I've been doing it my entire life. There are just some times, you guys go through these periods where you're just like, No. I'm just not going. And then one day falls into the other, and you just stop going.
Absolutely, all the time.
Happened when I was 5, and it lasted for 30 years.
I'm so burned out on it. So like 2 days ago, I go up to Lifetime to, I don't know, do a couple of body parts or whatever and work out. And I realize 15 minutes into my workout, I am just not into this.
Yeah.
I'm just not into it at all.
I'm on month 2 of this. I gave up my my gym membership like a month and a half ago. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to sign up for Pilates or something. I haven't done that. I'm going home. I'm sleeping. Well, it is glorious.
Yeah, and you said it's actually made you feel healthier, like because your body's not as stressed, right?
Yeah, because I think I was maybe just overworking my body just because I'm a very, if I have a goal and I know how to get to the goal, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get to the goal as soon as possible. And it felt like my body was in reverse. And so I was like, well, I don't want to do all this work and not enjoy life. So I might as well just go watch TV.
So I head up to Lifetime. I'm like 15, 20 minutes into this thing and I just give in and I'm embarrassed because I just walked into the gym basically and they check you in. And now here I am 15 minutes like leaving, right? So I actually left through a different door because I was so embarrassed.
That is so classic you.
I would have did the same thing.
And then yesterday, I'm like, okay, I'm not lifting today. I got a bike downstairs. I'll just go on the bike. I get on the bike. I do my programs, get me all ready and stuff like that. 3 minutes in, I'm like, I'm done. Literally, I looked down at my watch. It was 3 minutes, 4 seconds. I'm like, I'm not wasting my time on this.
Nope.
That's enough.
All right, let's get Brittany back on here because she was a little bit nervous about asking out a guy that lives in her building. She couldn't get past the cringe factor just in case she ran into this guy.
Yeah, she knows literally everything about this guy. She knows his social security number, his blood type, his parents' house on Zillow, what it's going to sell for when they resell it in a couple of years when interest rates go down, dear God, hopefully. But she doesn't have the balls to go up and say that she has a crush on him because she's worried that if she approaches him and says something, then every time she sees him in the hallway, it's going to be just like the ultimate cringy moment. Mm-hmm. So she wanted us to, a radio station, to do it instead.
which we did, Brittany, but we went covert, as Kristen said. So Kristen with the deets here.
So we went super covert. Tommy and I worked together. We came up with a plan. This is something new that we have instituted because listeners pointed out a flaw when we were doing this. And that's like when we told them he was Tommy from The Burt Show, why wouldn't this person just listen to The Burt Show to see who has a crush on him?
Mm-hmm.
But we was sneaky this time.
We were sneaky.
All right, Tommy has the correspondence with Mark.
All right, let's just make sure Brittany's still here. Hey, Brittany.
Hey.
Okay, you ready to hear the outcome of this whole thing?
I am. I'm so nervous.
All right, let's go.
Good day, mate. That'll make sense in about 2 seconds. So first off, I got Mark with a C's LinkedIn, so I was able to get his email. She had 6 questions, so I reached out to him. And got some answers. So I reached out to Mark via email, and Kristen's bright idea to prevent Mark from listening to The Burt Show, I said that I was Tommy from the Carrie and Tommy Show, which is based down under.
You don't even get top billing in your own made-up show.
It's a real show.
It's a real show.
Is it?
Yes.
So that if he goes looking, he'll say, oh, it's Carrie and Tommy. You know, and with the email, I don't have to use an accent or anything because my accents suck.
No, but seriously, if you go follow the Carrie and Tommy Show on Instagram, they're hilarious.
Yeah, they're legit.
I don't want to, like, tell people to go listen to another show.
I'm sorry.
We're having tough enough time in here. here, man.
This is just if the guy goes snooping where he shouldn't be snooping.
He's not going to look up Tommy at theburtshow.com.
Okay, so
he didn't send it from that email.
Okay, all right.
So I said, good day, Mark. And that's the extent of my story. I'm Tommy of the Carrie and Tommy Show. A woman reached out to us asking if we'd contact you on her behalf. She has several questions she'd like to ask you. I think you'll understand her hesitancy to contact you personally when you read her questions. It would mean a lot if you'd answer these questions for her. Shouldn't take long. Cheers, Tommy. Number one, are you single? Number two, if yes, are you interested in dating? Or if no, how serious is your relationship? Mm-hmm. Number three, do you have a crush on anyone? Number four, if yes, why haven't you made a move? Number five, what's your type? Number six, would you be turned off if a girl asked you out? Only took a couple hours. Mark emailed back. He said, hi, Tommy. This is so cool. My family and I took a vacation to Australia last year.
Wow.
We had an incredible time. I read the questions, and I've been racking my brain whose path I might have crossed, but I keep coming up empty. Anyway, here's the answers to your questions. So just to refresh, question number one, are you single? His response, yes.
Oh, okay. Brittany, main question. We got a yes.
We in the game.
Question number two, if yes, are you interested in dating? Or if no, how serious is your relationship? He answered, yes, if it's the right one. I'm not one of those dudes who dates for sport. Mm. I date for a relationship.
Okay.
So good talk.
Question number three again. Do you have a crush on anyone? Yes. He does have a crush on someone. Mm. Question number four. If yes, why haven't you made a move? Four. This is answer number four. I think she has a boyfriend.
Mm. Okay.
Mm. Question number five. What's your type? He responded, kind smile, good heart, funny and easygoing, low maintenance, brunette, and short.
Brittany, what color is your hair?
I'm a brunette.
Okay. Brittany, how tall are you?
I'm 5'3". I think that's short.
Okay.
You funny?
No.
Nope. I'm sorry.
Are you funny?
Yes, but she also has ADD.
I think so. I consider myself to be funny.
Easy going?
Yes.
Kind smile, good heart, can't lie?
All those things, all the time.
Can't lose.
Oh, can't lose, that's what it is. No, I can't lie.
Clear eyes, full heart.
That's what I was going for.
Australia forever.
All right, and the last question, would you be turned off if a girl asked you out? And he said, I wouldn't say I'd be turned off, but I do prefer to make the first move.
Okay.
That's just the gentleman in me.
Mark with a C.
And then he ended the email with, you guys have me intrigued, so hopefully I get a follow-up, Mark.
Okay. So what we're saying here is that it sounds like he's describing you, but that's still, we don't know.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
So it leaves us the same place as where we started, really.
And you, obviously, Brittany, you don't have a boyfriend. So
no. So can when you hit him back up, can you ask him why he thinks his crush has a boyfriend?
Hit him back up.
We are done here.
I think our work is done
here.
You gotta have some guts.
Yes. We are invested. We gotta find out why he thinks his crush has a boyfriend.
I'll hit him back up, mate.
You want us to do your work for you again a second day in a row?
I mean, he said that he wants to make the first move, but that's why he won't. So I don't know what to do.
Next time you see that man, you need to ask him when he gonna ask you out.
Hey,
that's it. Yes.
Yes, that's what you need to do.
Or we can do it again, if that's what you want.
I mean, you did such a great job.
All right, we'll get a couple more answers, Brittany. But then after this, you're gonna have to do some heavy lifting.
I know. Thank you so much.
All right. That big old beefy Midwestern boy from Iowa.
All right, give us 24 hours. Tommy will reach back out. We'll have you back on tomorrow. We'll let you know what happened, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, bye-bye.
Hey, The Bird Show.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like, suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy. But make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady, all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right. Your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, Kristen has made it me aware that the love that I think that I am looking for is exhausting and doesn't exist. Okay, the love that I might be looking for is a love that the spark is alive all the time. You have said before that sounds exhausting to you.
Well, it's not that it sounds exhausting. I just don't know if that's feasible.
I don't know either. Looking for it though.
And you've talked about this several times on the show. And my husband and I have had this. You know, we had a conversation, and you know, my husband and I, we've been together for 17 years now, right? And the spark that was there when we first started dating, that spark is not there. But I would trade it in a heartbeat for what we have right now, mm-hmm. which is something I think is deeper and more meaningful because of everything we've gone through together. Do we still find each other attractive? Absolutely.
You sure?
Yes. I
probably talked to him about recently. Yeah.
we are still attracted to each other. We are still intimate. We still enjoy that aspect whenever we are not too tired to do it. So I feel very fortunate that we have a loving relationship in that manner. But as far as like that spark that you're talking about when you first start dating somebody, yeah, nah, dog, we ain't got that.
So you and I are going to be in very different parts of our life when it comes to relationships, right? You
Correct.
Guys have a child together. I'm not having another child, mm-hmm. right? So I understand the depth and the intimacy that you're talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want anything to do with that.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. But what I'm looking for, I think, is like, even in a year or in 2 years or in 4 years or in 5 years, when she walks in the door, I still get those flutters, you know, like I'm excited to see her all the time. And how do you keep that? One thing I've been thinking about and I've told you guys about is if I really want that in a relationship, do I want to live with somebody ever again? Because there's that commonplace, I think Mo and I sort of share this fear also. There's that commonplace when you see them all the time, you start to take them for granted or you just know they're going to be there. Can you keep that spark by living in two different places?
Is it wrong that I get the flutters when I come home and I see his car is gone?
That is what I'm trying to avoid.
And I get to walk into a quiet house yes. with nobody there.
I get it, man.
No,
I get it.
We're in a different stage right now. And, you know, and I do. I say that like half jokingly. I love my husband. I know my husband loves me. And we're at a unique place when you have a toddler and you're tired and you're kind of pushed
sure.
to the limits. And like that's maintaining that spark is not top priority. But we have really worked on making sure that we have date nights and we are more communicative than we have been in the past.
So here is a dude online, or a woman online, I should say, that this is what she does with her husband every day to try to keep that spark alive.
Get ready with me while I talk about why my husband and I make out every single night. So here's how it usually goes in long-term relationships. When you first start dating each other, it's like you can't keep your hands off each other, right? You're always touching, always kissing. But the pattern for most people is that once they get into a long-term relationship, they really stop touching and kissing so much. And eventually, it gets to the point where the only time that you're like really kissing each other is when you're trying to initiate sex. But what happens for a lot of people, especially if you're the lower sex drive partner in the relationship, is that you start becoming avoidant of any sort of touch or kissing. Like, if you're not wildly in the mood, you don't want your partner to kiss you and think that it's going to lead to more, right? But this only further intensifies that connection that kissing has to or is supposed to lead to sex. And this can even lead to what I call the bristle reaction, which is when you become so hypervigilant to your partner's touch or kisses that you actually can feel yourself bristle whenever your partner comes in to try to make contact with you. So the intent behind our nightly makeout sessions is to actually break the connection between making out and sex. This nightly routine has taken the pressure off of us to have sex if we start making out, and it's really allowed us to enjoy making out just for the sake of making out.
Well, that's a pretty cool idea.
No.
But it sounds exhausting to you?
Well, here's
the
thing.
You also have a kid. I mean, you've got what, 3-year-old, 2.5-year-old?
He'll be 3 next month. I am wallowed. Like, as soon as I walk home, Jimmy's in my lap. He's crawling all over top of me. He's like, and I do. I love it because I know this time is fleeting with him, but I am touched out as a mom, right? And so you do need that like personal space so you can get some autonomy back. So at this stage right now, that would not work for us. I commend her. I think it's a great idea, depending on where you are in your relationship. Now, something Bart and I have made sure to include in our relationship is we kiss before I walk out the door, and we kiss every night before I go to bed, like before we go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's something we hadn't done before, and it seems small and it seems trivial, but it's been great as far as our connection goes and acknowledging each other, because there for a while we weren't doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, you could go days without realizing. Sometimes we'll just do nice long hugs in the kitchen, which I think it's important for our son to see mom and
for
dad
sure, yeah.
be affectionate towards each other. It's very sweet when we're putting Jimmy down for bed at night. I give Dada a kiss, and then Jimmy he wants his kiss. So I want him to see affection, and I think that's very important. But as far as making out every night, that's not happening at this stage.
Because that sounds glorious to me.
And you're at a different stage. You're just at a different stage.
I, like you, Bert, wondered, like, what does it take to keep that? Because I've never been in a super long relationship, but in the relationship I'm in now, we still feel that way. Like, mm-hmm. going on 2 years, it still feels like it did the first week. And sometimes I do wonder in the back of my mind, like, how much of that is the fact that we are long distance and mm-hmm. we do have so much space in between every time we see each other? So every time we see each other, there's like this I miss you feeling.
Yes.
That I wonder if it would go away if we actually moved in together or lived together.
That would be my fear also, right? Hey, Lily, good morning. You're on the Bert Show.
Hi there. So my husband and I accidentally, or it wasn't intentional, we're living now in different states due to a job relocation, and he hasn't been able to, we're not in the same states anymore.
Right.
And I think that's kind of, we got our spark back. We miss each other more. We're not on our phones when we make time to see each other. We're just really all about our family and our kids. And it's just, it feels like that spark is back and it's better than ever. And people think we're crazy and they think it's not real, but well, I don't know. When I hear you and Mo talk, I think you guys are actually on the phone.
First of all, here's how I feel about relationships, truly, and living life. Lily, because I heard you say that people think we're crazy. Who cares what people think? I mean, let's look at the statistics on happy relationships. And everybody wants to fit into the same model in the same box. It clearly hasn't worked for generations now. But we do the same things over and over and over again. And when someone like you says, you know what? We're living away from each other and it's helped our relationship. There are going to be some going, oh my God, that's not even a real relationship. That's not even real intimacy. For you guys, it is. And it works. So who cares what anybody else thinks?
Oh, Oh, yeah. And we've been judged. And we had a friend that said, you know, if your wife's not sleeping in the same bed with you, you guys got problems.
Oh, no.
Well, come to find out, they're now divorced. She was cheating on him with several men.
Okay.
And
well, now we know.
And, you know, so, you know, to, yeah, exactly. To each his own. But yeah, now I kind of wonder what it's going to be like when we are in the same house again.
Yeah. Well, but it doesn't mean that you got to be in the same house with each other. I mean, if you guys can afford it, if that's the agreement that you have, like this space thing is really working for us, maybe he lives down the street or whatever. But that if it works for you, it's going to work for you.
Nothing wrong with it.
I like it. Lake House, here we come.
The Burt Show.
I think that if you're really, really close to somebody, like almost best friends-ish, you should be able to say anything you want to them with sensitivity, knowing that it's coming from a good place, right?
Yeah. There are a lot of times people are like, I'm just being honest, when in actuality, they're just saying, and they're making an a-hole remark. Like, there is a way to be honest and kind.
Yeah. You volunteering your opinion in the interest of just being honest without it being asked just makes you an a-hole.
Correct.
It doesn't make you a very honest person.
100%.
So, we get this email from one Burt Show listener. It says she's got a friend, and I think it's a coworker as well, that's maybe getting like some work done on her face or whatever, and it's not looking so great. And she's wondering if she should say something.
I need a lot of opinions on a very delicate situation. I have a coworker who's also become a really close friend. I consider her one of my best friends and probably the one I talk to the most these days. The problem is that gradually over a few years and more rapidly in the last couple months, she's been making significant changes in her appearance due to what appears to be multiple cosmetic procedures. She tells me about some, but I'm pretty sure she's doing a lot more than what she's divulging. While I respect everyone's right to make choices about their own bodies and appearance, I can't shake the feeling that something might be wrong. Now, before I go any further, I want to make it clear, I am not here to judge or shame anyone for their decisions. My concern stems from the fact that my friend's recent transformations make her look drastically different to the point where she doesn't even seem recognizable or even fully human. There is nothing about her appearance that looks natural. I'm genuinely worried for her well-being and wonder if there might be underlying self-esteem issues driving these changes. I care about her deeply, and I fear that she may end up regretting the decisions she's making. I also wonder if she's become numb to the changes and doesn't realize how dramatically different and unnatural she looks. And I know that other people's opinions don't matter. I'm concerned she may realize that a lot of people are talking about it or staring at her. As a friend, I want to be there for her in a way that she needs. If I'm supposed to be blunt and honest about stuff like this, I will be. I just don't know if that is the right thing to do or not. And if it is, what do I say and how can I say it delicately?
Yeah, she could really use your help on this. 1-855-BIRCHO. I'm very curious if you've had work done. Has anybody said to you like, or when you were looking at yourself in the mirror, maybe you saw something very different than others saw? And it was a complete disconnect. And did anybody say anything to you about it? I wouldn't say anything, I don't think.
I'm not saying a word. I mean, even if you are a good friend of mine. Now, if you ask me, like you said earlier, that's a different thing. If you ask me, I'd find
like,
a way to be honest.
Like, hey, I got my lips done. How do they look?
What do you think, right?
Yeah.
And you have to, like you said, find a way to deliver that delicately, which I would do. But I would be 100% honest in how I felt if I were asked. If I'm not asked, I'm not offering any information.
As somebody who has gotten quote unquote work done. I've gotten fillers. I've done neurotoxins, AKA injectables. I go to Atlanta Face and Body. Ding. I prefer a more natural look. I know some people go in and I talked to my injector about this. She has had people come in and say, I want it to look like I got work done because to them it makes it seem like they have status and they have money. So they want it to be noticeable, whereas I'm like, all right, well, let's do our thing. But I want to look like youthful in me. I don't want to look like a completely different person. Now, beauty is objective. So if this is the way she wants to look, then this is the way she. It may not be your cup of tea. It may not be what you do to your face, but it's what she's doing to hers. If she asks you, then yes, I say you're delicately honest. If she's not asking your opinion or like, hey, should I do this? Should I get this? What do you think about what I did? I don't honestly think I'm saying anything unless I see other areas where I feel like her self-esteem is lagging. Like if she's with a man that treats her really bad and she's like, there has to be other areas in life where I feel like something's going on from a body self-esteem image standpoint.
Is there something like face dysmorphia?
Yes, there is. There? Absolutely.
Really?
Yes, for sure.
So she, after this all this work, she may look in the mirror and see something very differently than the rest of the world sees. This has to be the case in Los Angeles.
So,
I mean, you get off
sure.
the plane in LA and you're like, damn, where am I?
And I mean, and it also, it can be addicting. Like this can be an addiction. Like you do one thing and then it's like a little bit more, like, especially like you see it a lot of time with lips. You do a little bit and then you get used to it and you're like, I need more. And then you do it and then you get used to it and you're like, I need more. And before you know it, you're over here like touting some freaking bratwurst on your lips and thinking it looks completely normal when it doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, body dysmorphia is a real thing. And I know no matter how many times my friends or family tell me that my body looks one way, I will never see it that way. So that has taught me to just mind my business when it comes to how That's people the see themselves.
That is totally the truth. Mm-hmm.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy. But make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady, all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right, your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so how can you even call yourself an American? How can you even call yourself a proud American, Messy Mikey, if you have never seen a Disney movie? Not one.
I'll call myself a proud American as much as I'd like, but I've never seen any Disney movies.
Then you're not American.
I don't believe
you
that.
You are not
I
American.
I don't believe that for a second. I've never seen a Disney movie. What are you going to do to me?
Not one.
Yeah, no, I don't.
I think you're getting kicked out of the country, man.
Well, I'm not going to accept that. I am doing my due diligence now. I'm going back. And I got my hands on a stranger's Disney Plus account. And I'm going back and I'm going to watch some because I'm tired of missing all the references. Everybody's always talking about these Disney movies. I never get it. And I want to be a part of the group.
How does that happen? Like, how do you have an entire childhood and not experience one Disney movie?
Your parents do not like you, man.
They don't like you.
I'm a cartoon guy. I watched
animated features are just long, like, form cartoons, right?
Cartoon TV shows. SpongeBob. I watched that till the day I die. I went through time in childhood where I was watching Napoleon Dynamite like multiple times a day.
This tracks.
Yeah, I was more in that kind of lane.
It really does.
It really does.
So, last night, you guys assigned me my first Disney movie to watch, which goes by the name of Beauty and the Beast.
This was to help out Cassie, right? And their marital tension.
Yes, my husband and I are having tension because we disagree over the Beast's actions when Belle asks the Beast if she can go to her father, who she sees is in danger in the magic mirror. I think it's selfish because the Beast is sacrificing himself, but the entire castle of his servants and people, and he's just thinking about himself, but my husband's like, no, he did the right thing. He was in love. He let Belle go to her father.
So your introduction into Disney movies was this one.
Yeah. All right. So do you guys want me to start with my rating or start with helping Cassie out?
Your segment, man.
Okay. I'm going to start with my rating. It was an 8, but the singing was relentless. It's a six. The singing drove me crazy.
Too much.
Listen, it never, whenever they broke out into song, it Tell never once pushed, it never pushed the plot forward. It just, you were stuck on that plot point for 5 minutes. It was infuriating. I can't stand the singing. I learned something. I hate musicals. It was
I'm with you on that.
Horrible.
I'll definitely back you both on that.
It's the reason why the Joker didn't do
that's
so
right.
bad.
Yeah.
Infuriating. I think it was 8 minutes into the movie before they just started talking like people. It was the longest song I've ever heard. I was not looking forward to that. Also, not a big fan of love stories, and so wrong movie for me too. But all in all, fun movie. Okay. I liked it. I enjoyed it.
Who was your favorite character?
Probably the clock.
Yeah.
What was the message, the deep message, moving forward in your life that you got from this movie?
Okay. Because Disney has a message in every single film.
Well, I don't know if I dissected that well, but I don't think the Beast learned any sort of lesson. He turned away some weird old woman at his door. It's like, yeah, who's going to let that lady in? She was trying to give him a rose or something. So first of all, he was right to do that. I don't know why it was right that she got a curse put out on him. And then he faked being nice in order to make this girl fall in love with him. It's like, there's no lesson here. He's shallow.
So every dude has done that.
Yeah, I know. It's like, this is not a beautiful message. Yeah, so I don't know. And also, she is also shallow, right? It's like she didn't like the Beast at first because he's ugly. So why is she not cursed?
No, because he kidnapped her.
It was that.
He's a huge hulking monster that kidnapped her.
I guess
first
so.
First kidnapped her dad.
So what you're saying is he wouldn't do well, or he would do well in Love is Blind.
He would.
That's a funny concept. All the Disney characters in
love. I'm here for that.
The Beast would thrive, dude.
All right. And now on to Cassie's marriage.
Okay. Let's try to save this thing.
So you're saying that whenever the Beast kicked or let the girl go.
Belle. Her name is Belle.
Whenever she let Belle go.
Jeez.
Almost animosity towards Belle.
Whenever she let him go, or whenever he let her go, you're saying that was wrong because the candle still stuck as a candle and everything?
Yes, all the rest of the people in the, because the curse applies to all of them, which is unfair, but he's not just sacrificing himself, mm-hmm. he's sacrificing everyone in the castle.
There's collateral damage is what you were uh-huh. saying. Yeah, okay. You didn't think about that.
Well, I thought it was dumb. Why'd he just sit in his little chair and sulk? Why did he not go with her? She's got to go back through those woods where she got attacked by the wolves. And so why would he not go and help?
Actually, that is an excellent point.
Thank you.
He's the worst.
Yeah, just get out of your chair and go help the girl, and then she's going to love you regardless. Infuriating. Then they started singing again.
The man makes a point.
He really does.
Wow, that was a major plot hole there.
So what's next? What's the next one?
Yeah, what do you guys got for me?
Do you want another one?
Yeah.
Oh, we need more Mikey Disney reviews.
No more singing, please.
Oh, babe, that's in all of them. Yeah. I think it's got to be Little Mermaid or Lion King.
I vote Lion King.
Or Frozen.
Lion King.
Even better.
Frozen.
Ding, ding, I think ding, we got to do Frozen.
Right, I'll do Frozen.
Okay. It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
It has been a question as old as time. Are tacos sandwiches? And now we have a legal ruling. If you guys are playing judge here, are tacos sandwiches? And I will tell you if the legal system agreed with you or not.
Tacos are tacos. They are not sandwiches.
Cassie, are tacos sandwiches?
No, they are tacos.
Mo, is taco a sandwich?
I agree. A taco is a taco. A sandwich is a sandwich.
Abby, is taco a sandwich?
A taco is a taco. If anything, it could possibly be labeled a wrap. But it is a taco.
A taco is legally a sandwich.
No, it's not.
You need two pieces of bread for a sandwich, and there's just one tortilla.
Why are you arguing with me?
Because you said it was.
I was not the judge. I was not on the jury, but it is now legal. Let me explain, shall we? Yeah, we got an answer now. Tacos or sandwiches? Judge in Indiana just ruled on it this week.
Of course it's in Indiana.
What's wrong with Indiana?
You think Indiana is the expert on tacos? Like, can we get a ruling from, like, Texas, maybe?
So a dude named Martin Quintana has been trying to open up a taco place in a strip mall in Fort Wayne. Oh, wait. Moment of silence.
Are we letting Indiana decide whether or not a taco is a sandwich?
That's what she just said.
This is the whitification of tacos. Yeah.
So he ran into some red tape thanks to a contract that limits the type of restaurants allowed. It says you can only open a place that sells, quote unquote, made to order or Subway style sandwiches. So he sued, claiming that tacos are sandwiches. The contract was designed to prevent big fast food chains from moving in, so they haven't. His case has been making its way through the legal system for a long time, and a superior court judge just ruled on Monday that, yes, tacos are sandwiches.
No, they're not.
It's not a sandwich.
Tacos are sandwiches in Indiana. Tacos are not sandwiches anywhere else in this country.
You know somebody's going to take this, though, and at some point, the Supreme Court is going to sit down on a Monday morning, all right, what do we got today? This? We got tacos or sandwiches?
All my years in school, this is where we land.
Tacos versus Fort Wayne? This is what we're working on today.
Apparently. All right, and also, how could we forget? We did not forget to play our Thanksgiving song.
Yes.
So we were talking about how Christmas has like a bajillion songs dedicated to it, right? Poor Thanksgiving over here. And I think when we looked it up and we did some research, maybe has one or two songs. Believe it or not, it actually has some songs, but nothing that's gone mainstream. Nothing like All I Want for Christmas is You by Mariah Carey. They're just, you know, songs that nobody would even know. So we were bummed out for Thanksgiving. I know Thanksgiving is your favorite holiday, Mo.
Absolutely, it is.
And we issued a challenge, Abby, to the Burt Show listeners saying, hey, we want a banger for Thanksgiving. And one of our Burt Show listeners, Christian Hayward, stepped up to the plate and knocked this Thanksgiving song out of the park.
Wow. Okay.
He really did. So
that's good.
Once again, here is Turkey Day by Christian Hayward.
Joy, but there's still something misses. Spread the word, there's turkey in the kitchen. It's a long time that we celebrate Turkey Day. It's gifts, Christmas, but gifts got in the way. It's a long time that we celebrate Turkey Day. We give thanks, but not in Santa's lane.
Celebrate Turkey Day. Let's spend time with friends and family. It's about time we celebrate Turkey Day. Thanksgiving, the forgotten holiday.
Friday already? Christmas coming early this year.
And that was Turkey Day by Christian.
Hey, Christian.
You can download that at Apple Music, by the way.
The Burt Show. This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.